I know that my way is not God's way. God's way is higher than my way. And as long as I will listen to him, I will be wise. But when I think my way is the best way, I'm not teachable and I am a fool. How to foolproof your life. Now, before we get into that, some of you are looking at the scripture that was read today and said, what does that have to do with Proverbs? And I want you to look very closely at verse 26. I'm sorry, 26, yeah. Let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up to meeting together. I want you to look at that, because most of you who grew up in the Church of Christ, you heard this verse that every time the doors were open, you had to be there. That's not what this verse is about. This verse is about the fact that those you hang out with are going to influence you. When we talk about peer pressure, a lot of times we talk about peer pressure with kids in particular, and peer pressure is always a negative connotation, but it has a connotation for everybody. We are all influenced by our peers. We're all influenced by who we hang out with. When I'm counseling with someone and they're trying to change their life, one of the things that I will tell them, if you want to change your life, the first thing you've got to do is change your friends, because your friends are influencing you. You don't think it's true. I started to try to find a picture, but I got tired and I couldn't find it, and I decided to just give up on it. If you don't think it's true, I've got a picture somewhere where I am in a leisure suit with bell-bottom pants, and I had the elevated shoes that they wore back in the 70s. You remember the platform shoes that everybody wore? That was peer pressure right there. And today, a lot of times we will look around and we will see what our friends are wearing, and we will wear the same kind of clothes that they wear. Amen? And so this verse right here was talking about the fact that we need to consider how we can encourage each other, how we can influence one another, how we can be peer pressure towards one another so that we may have love and good deeds. And the opposite side of that is Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. I did a whole class on Psalms 1. If you want to go back and look at it, it's a Wednesday night class. But Psalms 1 and verse 1 talks about, it's kind of like a carnival atmosphere. He says, you don't need to be walking. And then you don't need to be sitting or standing. And then you don't need to be sitting. And the idea behind Psalms 1:1 is that we'll be walking along and something will catch our attention, and then we'll stop, and then we'll stand, and the next thing you know, we're sitting there. And that's the opposite of what God wants from us. You see, we need to foolproof our lives. One of the things that I've done this time around when I've been doing my studies, and this is such a good thing to do, and I recommend it for anybody who really wants to get into God's Word, is start in Proverbs and every day have a list, fool versus wise. And as you're going through the chapter for that day, every time you see a place in there where it says, the fool does this, write down what the fool does. And then every time you see something like, wise people do this, write down what the wise people do. Because Proverbs is not written cohesively so that you can just look at it and just get all the same facts together. It's written over time. Solomon was writing it to his son, and he was taking all the wisdom that he could get from everybody around him, and he put it in this book. And so I did that for you today. I only got five because I knew I had to stop preaching at some point. But I want you to look at this, and this is continuation from last week. How to foolproof your life. Number one, you need to recognize and avoid foolish people. You need to recognize and avoid foolish people. Now, we have to associate with everyone. God didn't call us to live in our old Christian bubble where we only hang out with our Christian friends and we only listen to Christian music and watch Christian movies, and the only thing we do is we do with church people, and if you're not a church person, we don't have anything to do with you. We need to learn to associate with everyone, but we need to hang with wise people, with Christians. You see, you cannot go out into the world today and not run into foolish people. Amen. We see it all the time. We hear about it on the news all the time. You cannot avoid them. But Proverbs 14 says, "Stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on their lips." What he's saying here is you're going to have to associate with a lot of people, but don't make the people you get your recognition, your validation from, the foolish people of this world. The second thing, and this is one that's really good for all of us, is to recognize and remove foolish behavior. Recognize and remove foolish behavior. Now, one of the things we do when it comes to hearing a sermon, especially something like this, is we have this idea of those that are close to us, and when we can identify what they're doing wrong, we go, right? There will be no elbow throwing today. If Nancy can't throw an elbow at me, you can't throw one at your husband, okay? Same thing for husbands. You can't look at your wife and nod your head like you need to be listening to this. This is for you to focus on the behaviors that you are doing today that are foolish by nature. One of the things that I have gotten out of the book of Proverbs is how many stupid things that I am doing in my life that I need to quit doing, and we'll talk about some of those in just a minute. But it says, "How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you and I will make known to you my teachings." The third thing that we need to do is we need to recognize and hang around with wise people. We need to recognize and hang around with wise people. There are some people that are in my life that I feel like that they are spiritual giants. I will spend time with them whenever I can. There are some people in my life that I just look to because they have wisdom about things that I don't know anything about. I know a lot of things. Over my lifetime, I've learned a lot about things. I come in association with a lot of people. And I know a little bit about a lot of things, but you know, there are some experts in the world, and those are the ones that I want to hang out with. I know a little bit about healthcare, but you wouldn't want me as your doctor. I know a little bit about plumbing, but trust me, you don't want me as your plumber. I know a little bit about mechanics, but I am definitely not working on your car. My thought is here is we need to find the wisdom of people that who've been around. We need to find people who know things, and we need to hang around them. If you know somebody that's been walking with God for 40-some years and they are doing it right, that is the person you need to hang out with. It says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffer harm." You need to consider who your association's with. Well, I've got here 5 different ways that you can tell the difference between the wise and the fools. There's 5 ways you can look at people's lives and you can tell whether they are fools or whether they are wise. And the very first one is, fools consult with God, wise people fear God. Wise people fear God. Fools just consult with God. Before things were going this morning, Joel has my sermon notes. So Joel came up to me this morning and said, "Well, don't we all consult with God? Because sometimes we sit down in prayer and we pray and we're consulting with God what to do." And I said, "Joel, just listen to the sermon. You're going to understand what I mean." You see, there is a difference between consulting God and fearing God. Consulting God means you will go to His Word and you will look at what His words say, and then what you will say, "Well, that does not apply to my particular situation." And there are a lot of people in the world today that want to consult God instead of obey God. There are a lot of people that want to consult with God instead of fear God. One of the things that I have done in my study here over the last several weeks is I have talked about we need to fear God. And I want to tell you, I've gone into the root word of that word fear, and you know what it means? It means fear. It doesn't mean reverent awe. It doesn't mean that I should have respect for God. It means I should fear God. The same kind of fear I got earlier this week when I was going over to the Stevens house, and all of a sudden I heard a siren behind me and the lights going off. I thought to myself, what have I done? Well, the police officer, bless his heart, saw me holding my phone like this, and he was sure I was texting. And all I was doing was looking up the code to get into Gary's community. He didn't write me a ticket. He was a little aggravated that he was in the wrong and I was in the right. But everything worked out well, except for people I knew saw the whole thing happen. So if the rumor is out there that Neil got pulled over and got a ticket, that is a bad rumor. I did not get a ticket. But have you ever had that happen? I've seen it so many times where people will go along and they will be driving, everything will be going good, they'll be doing the speed limit, maybe a few miles over the speed limit, and all of a sudden they'll see a sheriff's car and they'll hit those brakes for no reason whatsoever. And you guys know what I'm talking about because you've done it. That's fear. Fear of what the police officer will do to you. You see, fools consult with God. Wise people fear God. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord, and underline these words, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You all know someone in your life who has spent time in God's Word. They may even claim to be a Christian, and then they'll come to you and they'll say, you know, I know this is what it says, but my situation doesn't apply. You've known somebody that's done that. And I'm thinking when they tell me that, when they say, well, you know, I know what God's Word says, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but it doesn't apply to me. What I'm thinking to myself is, I bet God is up in heaven saying, you know what? I did not think about that when I wrote that for him. What God's words says, God's word means, and we need to fear the Lord and follow his instruction if we want to be wise. Last week we talked about this, the kids talked about this in their class, and I want to make sure you keep up with Children's Church. So Matthew 7:24 says this, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It says the rains came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. If the kids were in here now, we'd have to sing that song. Some of you are just itching to anyway. Number two, fools are never wrong, but wise people are teachable. Fools are never wrong. And I got to tell you, I have to look at my life on this, because when Nancy and I were first married, man, I didn't want to be wrong about anything. And it got to the point that I was so frustrating with her that every time she would tell me I was wrong about something, I would explain to her why I was correct about what I was doing, and she was wrong for thinking that I was incorrect. And it got so bad that finally Nancy just started saying to me, "You're never, ever, ever, ever wrong, are you?" And then it went to, "You're always, always right, aren't you?" And I was so wrong in being right. So many of us, we are fools because we think we're never wrong about anything. And I have had people who have tried, who've made mistakes, and they have tried to cover those mistakes with lies. They've tried to cover those mistakes with an explanation saying, "I didn't really do anything wrong here. It's just your perception of what's going on." And they've tried their best to act like they don't do anything wrong. But wise people, they're teachable. Those are the ones that I want to spend time with. There are people that come to me from time to time for counseling. They'll come and they'll be sincere when they come. They'll say, "Neil, will you come and counsel with us?" And I'll set it up and I'll sit down and I will counsel with them. But they're not teachable. And the first time I counsel with them, I tell them, "This is what you should do. This is what the Bible says. This is how you should act." And a lot of times they will go out and they will do the exact opposite of what I said. And so they'll come back, and I'll be nice about it. And I'll say, "That didn't work out for you. Maybe this time you can do it this way, and you can follow what the Bible says, and you can do this." And then they will go out, and they will mess it up again. And the third time they come back, and they tell me how bad things are doing, and I'll just look at them, and I'll say, "Well, what do you think you need to do?" Because they're not teachable. And they'll tell me, "Well, this is what I think." And I will say, "Go forth and do what you think," because they're not teachable. Look at what it says here. "The way of the fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." The way of the fool seems right to them. And I'm going to tell you right now, over and over in my life, my way versus God's way seemed right to me. And God speaks to me in this verse, and I don't have to have Nancy elbow me or look at me, because I know that my way is not God's way. God's way is higher than my way, and as long as I will listen to Him, I will be wise. But when I think my way is the best way, I'm not teachable, and I am a fool. Proverbs 18:2, "Fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing their own opinions." Oh my goodness, does this speak to me today? How many times have I wanted to express my opinion about what's going on in the world, and I have no clue about the facts behind it? How many times have I wanted to express what's going on in the political arena, and I have no basis of understanding what's going on in that political arena? Have you ever met anyone that never wants to listen but always wants to tell you what he thinks is going on? You're probably sitting next to somebody like that right now. If you're not, at least they're on the other side over here or over there. I mean, I've run into people that all they want to do is tell you their opinion about everything. And I'm going to look at this verse. "Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions." We all have opinions about what's going on in the world today. And I think it's great to have those discussions. I have those discussions with friends of mine, but it's not the main topic all the time. I am not going around sharing my opinions about everything. Proverbs chapter 26, 4 and 5, and I want you to look at this in the contemporary English version. "Don't make fools of yourself by answering a fool, but if you answer any fool, show how foolish they are so they won't feel smart." And I thought that's pretty good. But if you want to look at this verse, I want you to see this in the NIV. I didn't have room for it in your notes. I had Joel throw it up there. Show it in the NIV. This is the same verse in the NIV. "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him." answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Now, if you look at that verse in the NIV, go back to verse 4. It says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be just like him. And then verse 5, it says, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. I'm going to tell you, Solomon didn't fall asleep between writing those two words. He's saying, don't answer a fool, and then he says, do answer a fool. What he is saying, that when you're dealing with foolish people, you can't win. Quit trying. My dad has a saying about arguing with foolish people. He will say, never get in a puking contest with a buzzard. And I love that, because that's what it's all about. A lot of times people are just throwing up stuff they know nothing about, and they just keep doing it, and eventually they're going to win because they're better at it than you are. The other thing he says from time to time that I love growing up is he says, never wrestle with a pig, because the pig and you will both get muddy, and the pig likes it. You see, you're going to come across fools in your life. And instead of arguing with them, instead of trying to make them better. And folks, this took me a long time to learn. Because in my heart, I want to help everybody. I want to have everybody live the best possible life they can live. And I've sat down and I've tried to teach people. And you know what they've said to me? You know, I really like what you have to say, but I think I can do better on my own. And I want to look at them. Can you see your life and what a mess it is? That's true. They can't. I didn't realize it was audience participation day, but that's great. All right. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. The third one I got here, and this one is just for me. I'm going to tell you right now, this may fit some of you, but it is really just for me. Fools flirt with danger and are proud of it. That's me. Fools flirt with danger and are proud of it. Wise people avoid danger. Wise people avoid danger. We live in a world where everybody looks at you as you're courageous if you do something really stupid and you survive. If you do something really stupid and you don't survive, you're an idiot. But if you do something really dangerous and you survive it, man, you're somebody. Let's applaud him. He's done great. I've done some stupid things in my life just so I can get those applause. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible teaches against that. Look at what it says here. The prudent see danger and take refuge. I see danger and I run in. But the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Proverbs 22:5, in the path of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who preserve their life stay far from them. I want to just kind of talk about some of the things, because I'm teaching the 30 Below class on Sunday morning, and I love teaching that class, and it's starting to grow, starting to get a little traction, and we're seeing more and more people coming. It's just such a great time. But you know what? When I'm in there, I love telling my stories about the stupid things that I did and how I survived. But I'm going to tell you, if you do something stupid and you survive, all you are is a lucky fool. That's all it is. That's all it is. When Nancy and I were first married, one of the things I wanted to do is get a motorcycle. As soon as we were married, I wanted to have a motorcycle. Well, Nancy was smart enough to tell me that I could not have a motorcycle and be married to her. At least when we had kids. Well, we didn't have kids at the time. But lucky for me and lucky for her, she said, I do not want to be a widow at this age. You have to wait until after our kids are raised to have a motorcycle. So we had kids. Can't have a motorcycle. First one's out of the house. Vroom. I hear it coming. Second one's getting ready to go out of the house. And guess what he says? Dad, I want a motorcycle. Uh-uh, son, not while you're living in this household. When you get out and you're on your own, you can have a motorcycle, because I'm not paying for you to stay here and have a motorcycle and do something terrible to yourself. Well, what did he do? He's just like his father. He moved out, got a motorcycle. And I'm thinking to myself, Nancy's older now. She makes a pretty good widow. I can have a motorcycle. Until Tyler started telling me all the things that had happened to him that a young man can get out of and an old man can't. And I decided, well, I'm going to go talk to somebody, an older guy, a friend of mine. He has a motorcycle. He's smart. He's got some wisdom behind him. I'm going to get him to tell me it's okay to have a motorcycle because he has one. And I went and I saw him. And I said, I'm thinking about getting a motorcycle. What do you think about that? And he says, Neil, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm going to say this to the younger generation here, and I'm not telling you whether having a motorcycle is a good idea or not. You've got to decide about that. But I am going to say this. When you're married and you have children, you're no longer your own. The reason why the Bible says that if you're going to go into ministry, you're going to deal with persecution and things like that, it's better to be single, because if you're single, it doesn't make that much difference. But I'm going to say this to you. If you're married, you need to make decisions based on your wife, and you need to start making decisions based on children if you have children. You can't do what is dangerous. And I'm not here to say that if you have a motorcycle, you're a fool. I'm not here to say that if you go climbing a mountain, you're a fool. Everybody's got to decide where that line is, but you don't want to be the fool. Worst thing that has happened in terms of dealing with people and having to counsel with people is a friend of mine, his kids were almost grown, and he went and bought a motorcycle, and I'm not against motorcycles. I'm just saying they're dangerous. But he went and bought a motorcycle, and he got killed on that motorcycle because he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing. And the mess he left behind was so heartbreaking. There are a lot of great things, there are a lot of fun things to do in this life, but I would stress to you that this verse right here, the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their lives stay far from them. Number four, and this is another one that I'm preaching to me about more than anybody else in this room. Fools give full vent to their anger. Wise people control their anger. I'm done better with this. I've been working on this my entire life. I've been trying my best to let anger leave my life, but I'm going to tell you, it's very difficult. It's very difficult when things happen to you and you have no control over. People do things to you and you don't have any control over what they're doing to you. And it's hard not to get angry. As a matter of fact, anger is one of those emotions that everybody in this room has from time to time. Some people cover it up better. Some people deal with it better than others. But if you give full vent to your anger, you're a fool. Doesn't say you should never get angry. It says don't give full vent. But wise people control their anger. Fools give full vent to their anger, but the wise bring calm in the end. And then over on the last page, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 6 says, the wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed yet feels secure. What he's saying here is that when you get angry and you spurt out stuff and you start calling people names and you start shaking your fists and you start doing all of that, is you feel secure in doing that. But the reality of it is showing your own insecurity when you do that. And so many times in my life when I have gotten angry at somebody and I have dressed them down and I have made them to feel little, I have done nothing but hurt my relationship with them and hurt my relationship with those that saw us. I had an associate minister several years ago when Nancy and I were first married. And I don't remember the circumstances, but we were in the mall, and Nancy was not doing what I wanted her to do. And so I evidently was angry, and I recall being angry, but I don't remember what it was about. But I was being angry, and Nancy and I were having a discussion, and evidently I was giving full vent to my anger. And we left, and you know, of course, we're still married, so it worked out okay. But I remember that next day, Sunday, the associate minister came up to me and he said, "Neil, I saw you and Nancy at the mall." And I said, "Why didn't you come over and say hello?" He says, "It really didn't look like it was a good time." I'm thinking, yeah, it really wasn't. Proverbs 22:24-25. "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared." Men, women, if you deal with anger, one of the things that you're going to have to deal with is you're going to have to deal with the fact that that anger is contagious and you're going to pass it down to your children. I have two sons, and both of them have to fight their anger. And I believe it's because they were raised in a household with a dad that got angry way too often. Number five, fools never take responsibility. Wise people learn from their mistakes. Fools never take responsibility. There are a lot of people in this world that it's always somebody else's fault. There's always an excuse for why the things are going on. They don't take responsibility for their mistakes. I've seen it over and over again where people will be talking about what's going on in their life, and it's always somebody else's fault. I know people who have had 12 jobs in the last 6 years, and they will tell you every employer they've worked for has a problem, not them. And I'm here to tell you that if you have a problem with Joe, and you have a problem with Bill, and you have a problem with Susie, and you have a problem with Christy, guess who the problem is? It may very well be that it's you. It says here in Proverbs chapter 19, verses 2 and 3, "Desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? A person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord." Some of you are thinking, "Well, why does this happen to me? Why are my finances so bad? God, why did you allow this to happen?" And God's Word's been teaching you all along how to be a good steward, but you don't do it. "Why is my marriage so bad?" When God tells you to love your wife and you don't do it, or love your husband and you don't do it, but you want to go to God and say, "God, why did you allow this happen?" I'll never forget talking to a couple who were not married, and she got pregnant, and they came to me for advice as to what to do. And they said, "We can't believe God allowed this to happen." And I said, "God didn't allow it to happen unless your name's Mary." And they quit coming to counseling for some reason. Here's my point. If your life is in ruin, it's not necessarily because of God. Now, there are people like Job who've gone through a lot of things. God's allowed them to be tempted in ways that we'll never understand. There are some people who go through that, but a lot of times it's your own fault that it happens. Proverbs 14:9, "Fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright." Somebody has sinned and they don't want to make amends for it. They don't want to do anything about it. But goodwill is found among the upright. Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Underline those words, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Reason why I tell you that is because I've watched over and over in people's lives where they make the same mistake over and over again, and they never learn from those mistakes. But at the end of their days, they're nothing but a fool because they've not changed who they are and how they live. I'm going to tell you, after writing this sermon, I sat at my desk. I had everything written out, and I thought, wow, this is really, really good stuff. And as I'm looking at all of the stuff in here, and I'm kind of chuckling to myself because of some of the things I'm putting in here just kind of smacked me in the face. And I began to think about it more and more, and then I began to think about how many times I've done foolish things in my life. I was talking to Will and Bethany and some of the people in class. Will's an outdoorsman, and if you want to go fishing, this guy's looking for a partner. But one of the things is we were talking about is gators. And I was telling you, you don't want to get bit by a gator because it's all kinds of infections and things like that. But then I went on to tell him how I used to jump in the water with the gators and grab them and bring them in the boat so my kids could see them. I am such a fool. But guess what? So are you. Because all of us in here, if we use the light of the Scriptures to hold up our life next to, we can see the areas that we need to work on and the things that we need to change. And in doing so, God's grace grants us forgiveness so that we can move on to sanctification, so that one day we will be in heaven with no gators to tempt us. You see, the wise person, when God says jump, you say, how high on the way up? And you're sitting next to a bunch of high jumpers today. But some of us have been foolish in our decisions. And we sing an invitation song to encourage everyone in the audience that if there is a need for you in some way, we want to encourage you to make a decision to follow Christ or to do whatever it is you need to do to be closer to Him today. Lesson is yours as we stand and sing.